You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
So, this morning, Cole rode with me this morning whenever I came. We came in different vehicles at different times, obviously, and I was stirred up, and Cole's sitting in the pastor's seat, and I was preaching. And there was a song playing on the radio, and I was preaching. He was like, "Are you talking to me? Are you preaching to the radio? Are you preaching? Is that something about this song?" I said, "No, I'm telling you right now." I said, "You know, Cole, are we believers?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, then, what do we do as believers? Believe." I said, "Right." I said, "So are we going to let circumstances change who we are?" No. Are you believers out there today? Amen. What do we do? We believe. Are you going to let circumstance change who you are? No. So what are you going to do today? Believe. What are you going to do tomorrow? Believe. Does it matter what the circumstances are, what we feel or see? There's a word, song that goes along those same lines. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what we feel or see. We're going to believe. And you know, I've just been stirred up. I mean, you know, circumstances can do one of two things to you. They can beat you down or they can stir you up. I mean, really, I mean, that's, and it's a choice. Everybody say a choice. It is a choice that you make. Say it's my choice. It's my decision. Are you going to be happy today? Well, I don't know. Depends on what happens. Depends on how my day goes today. I mean, you know, no, it does not matter what the circumstance. Didn't we just say that? And you know, whenever you believe God and you stand on His promises, then are you really, really relying on your abilities or your power or your might or your strengths? Is that what you're relying on when you trust God? No. Do I have to be able to physically figure out a cure for cancer if it hits my body? Do I have to go and take a microscope and look at our little organisms and then try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing and figure out a way to combat that? Is it my ability, my strength, my knowledge, my power? Is that what it is that I'm relying on if I'm believing God to heal me of cancer? No. I don't have a clue. You know, I mean, I can try. Go figure it out. But I'm believing, I'm trusting, and I'm relying on God's power and God's might and God's ability. Amen. And so when I believe, you know what kind of just peace. Peace, just it's a worry, carefree life when you learn to trust God. And everybody say it's a choice. Because it's a choice to trust God. It's a choice to believe Him, to rely on Him. It's a choice to make the decision that, you know what, I'm not going to let, Amanda has this verse that I loved, and she's the one that really kind of turned me on this verse. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't move me. Where am I? I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the Word of God. It doesn't matter what comes against me. It doesn't matter what happens out in the world around me. It doesn't matter what happens in our political arena, in our government, in our, you know, economy, in my job. You know, that does not move me. Where am I found? I will be found standing on the promises in the Word of God. That's where I'll be found. And that's a choice that I make on a daily basis. Amen. You know, it's a daily thing that we get up and we say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm not going to figure this out. Okay, let's try this again. I'm going to make a decision today, right, that it's the day that God has made. And if it's the day that God's made, then I'm going to rejoice and I will be glad in it. And tomorrow will be the day that God has made. And I'm going to make a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. And the next day, I'm just trying to stir you up a little bit here. The next day will be the day that God has made. And on that day, I'm going to make a choice that I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because today I'm a believer. Tomorrow, I'm a believer. The next day Well, I'm a believer that day too. That's what I do. I'm a believer, and circumstance doesn't change me. Circumstances don't move me. They may try to sway me and push me. You know, they may come against me, but I'm going to withstand those. I'm going to stand against those, and I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Amen. And I was just getting stirred up. You know, there's a lot going on in the world today, right now, especially, you know, the things happened more recently. There's things that can get you into fear and get you into doubt and get you in unbelief. And I'm telling you what, that's exactly what the devil would want you to do. And it's exactly where the position that he wants you to be in, not here, standing on the word of God, but over here, getting away from it, not a firm foundation, not knowing what's going to happen, unstable ground. You know what it says about the Word of God? It's what? It's a rock. It's a rock. And when you stand on the rock, is it unstable? No. No, when you get on the solid rock of God and His Word, there's nothing unstable about that. There's nothing unstable about God saying, hey, you know what? You trust and believe in me, I'm going to bless you. Bottom line, period. Not a comma or a question mark. If you stand on my word, I'm going to bless you. Mo, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much you don't have room enough to receive it. I mean, it's going to just flow out of you onto other people. I mean, not just financially. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about, you know, encouragement for other people. Mo is an encourager and a blesser of humanity. You know, he goes out here and prays for these people, and it just comes out of him. And God just, he stays in the Word of God. He stays in church. He stays in fellowship with God, and God just overflows that out of him into other people that come around him. And that's what God's all about, really. He's into blessing more than you have room enough to receive, so that you just kind of tip over a little bit, and it just pours out on those people around you. You're a vessel, right? I mean, I always see this picture of myself like an oracle and a vessel of God. And God, you know, as long as I stay full, and as long as I do what I'm supposed to do, and I serve God and trust God, then He's going to use me to just kind of, there's a little bit there. It's a little bit there for you too. I'm just overflowing anyway, so I got so much, I got to give it away. That's what prosperity's about. That's what, you know, joy's about. That's what, you know, encouraging. God wants us to be encouragers and motivators for Him and His kingdom. Amen. I hadn't really turned to scriptures per se, but I tell you what, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I tell you what, let's turn to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. And you turn there, and then I'm going to be there in just a second. I want to share a little bit with you. We got plenty of time. We're okay. I want to share just a little bit with you, just about a story about me. You know, some of the best witnesses and ways that you can encourage somebody or talk to somebody is just tell them about your life. You know, how God blessed you, how He changed you, how he you know, raised you, whatever He's done in your life. And because those are personal, they're an experience that cannot be denied. I mean, the eyewitness account, I was there. I felt the presence of God. You know, I know He moved on my life. I know it was God because I was the one that happened to. You know, when you've got that testimony to share with somebody, I mean, that's the best way you can minister to people. Is just share with what God's done for you. So, let me share with you what God's done for me. You know, I was not raised when I was younger to be afraid of anything. And so, but you know, there was, through life, I know I wasn't raised this way because when I was younger, I was pretty brave little kid, like little guy. I was pretty brave little kid when I was real little. I was telling the boys this the other day. I don't remember. I had to have been less than 7 or 8. We went to this place, and I'm pretty sure it was called Peppermint Park, and it was in Deer Park, Pasadena area down there. It was just a regular, you know, playground park area. It had big swimming pool, and I had learned to swim at that point. I had almost drowned when I was about 4 because I didn't know how to swim and I thought I could. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I didn't drown. I threw up a lot of water, you know, that I took in. But anyway, I did subsequently learn how to swim pretty good. And I know I obviously wasn't very afraid of heights at this time because we went to this park and my mom says she was sitting there and this friend that was with us, I think it was probably Susan Moore, probably Robbie and Susan Moore. We went to the park a lot with her and her kids. And so somebody bumps mom and says, "Hey, that's Chris on the high dive." And the high dive guys this time, you know, like at this park, they had like 3 diving boards. You know, you've seen them before. And this is like big Olympic-sized pools. And I'm on the, I mean, you know, it's up there. I'm looking up that way. It's up that way. It's up there. And she goes, "No, that's not Chris. That's Chris." Jump off, splash in the water, you know. So I know I wasn't raised to be afraid of things, the dark, you know, heights, you know, certain bugs or snakes or whatever. You know, I just naturally, my raising, my upbringing was not that way. But I'm going to tell you, there was a time frame where the devil really attacked me in the area of fear. And, man, that's a miserable place to be. That is a miserable place to be. I remember being so afraid of the dark at night and noises. And I mean, you know, let's keep quiet here. It's nighttime and we're asleep. And we're laying on our pillow and we're awake and our eyes are awake. You know, we keep hearing this. I'm hearing this noise and I keep, what is that noise? It's really close. Oh, it's my eyelashes blinking on the pillow. Okay, I'm okay now. All right now, I'm okay, I'm good. Whew. I was sweating there for a minute. And what is that noise? I keep hearing this thing. It just keeps going off repeatedly. It's like nonstop. It's in my head. It's Quasimodo. Okay. But, I dealt with these, I mean, and real fear of being outside in the dark, in the woods. You know, I had a cousin who was real sweet to me. When I was afraid of the dark. And we were at grandfather's house one day. We went out. We were running raccoon traps. And at this time, I'm probably 11 or 12, you know. And this is about the era, you know, of all this transpiring. You know, I started getting real smart, you know. There's things in the woods that could get me, you know. If you get that high on a ladder out there, you could fall and die, you know. All these things are going through my head. I'm getting real smart. Man, my parents, they are crazy. Why did they raise me like this not to be afraid of heights and all these things? You know, we need to really be afraid of heights. The dark is a really scary thing. You know, but he's, you know, I'm out there running these raccoon traps at grandfather's, and he left me on purpose, knowing that I was having a little issue there because we thought we heard something in the woods. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you there really are things in the woods in East Texas that probably could, you know, get you. But, you know, it probably wasn't something that was going to get us. You know, most things are afraid of you and they're going to run before you run. You know, you're running away and they're running the opposite way too. But anyway, he left me. And I remember being so afraid. I mean, I was, and from that, you know, with mom and dad's help too, and just talking about these things, and I came to the realization, this is big, y'all. You might want to write this down. That for me to dwell on that fear and stay in that fear was a choice. And what it boiled down to was one word, and that was focus. I mean, just think about, let that set in for a second. Focus. What was I focusing on? I was focusing on how dark it was. I was focusing on maybe my inabilities of how fast I could run away from this thing. I was focusing on, you know, it's dark. I don't have a light because my cousin took it with him and turned it off as he's running away, laughing. older cousin. I'm going to get him one day. I was focusing on, you know, it's probably a half a mile back to the barn, you know, from where we're at. it's probably half a mile back to any actual human being, at least. You know, and if we don't get to that house in time, the next one may be closer to 3/4 of a mile away, or maybe a mile away through the woods, because my grandparents live in the deep piney woods of East Texas, and they don't live like, you know, the neighbor is down through the woods, across the creek, up another ravine, you know, over the hill, and then there's my uncle's place. And, you know, well, one way's a little closer, but anyway, they're not close. And I was so focused on how that I was, there's no way I can make it on my own. That was my focus. But, you know, if I had changed my focus and said, you know what, God protects me. His angels encamp around me. They protect me. He watches over me, right? And I'm a child of God. Why do I have to fear? There's no reason I should fear. And I'm a believer, so what should I be doing? Believing. Because when I woke up that day, I was a believer. And circumstance shouldn't have changed who I was that day. Circumstance shouldn't have changed, you know, how I was going to react to and act on, you know, decisions and processes that I was going through in my brain. I should have just focused on the fact that I was a Christian, I was a believer, and believing is what I do, so what am I fixing to do? Believe. And fear is not from God. It's not. It's absolutely not from God. I mean, the only way we can actually please God is through faith. I mean, go read Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. Okay, down a few scriptures there after you get started talking about the first part, you know, faith is substance. Now, I love the word now. Because what does that apply to? Now. Wait for it. Now. 5 minutes down the road. Now. So when are we going to believe? Now. And in 20 minutes, it's going to be now. And when is that a good time to believe God? Yes, because now is the faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things. Now faith is saying, you know what? I can get out of this mess. I can see my future ahead of me. It's the substance. I can actually tangibly feel victory. I can feel winning in my grasp because faith gives me that substance. It lets me see beyond the circumstance and lets me see the promise of God being fulfilled in my life. That's what faith does. It's the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it with my eyes, but there are things, there are this sense that Dad talks about, this sense called faith gives me an indicator that it's there. It gives me an indicator that it's there. And then you move on down and you find out that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I mean, how did we even become Christians to begin with? We believed on Jesus. We believed that He was the Son of God, that He came, that He died, He was sinless, and He died on the cross and took all of our sins upon Him. And He rose again, and he victorious, took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and whooped the devil openly. I mean, He whipped him bad. He whooped him on him bad. In front of the whole host of the demons down there, it says he made a show of him openly. Like he probably kicked his rear end pretty bad. And then he might have, I'm just saying, he might have went around going, did y'all see that? Did y'all see that? Is there anybody here that, you know, wants to be next? Okay? Did y'all see what just happened? I mean, he made a show of him openly. He showed everybody who was boss, basically. I mean, it's kind of like John Wayne, you know. I don't reckon you want to draw that there gun. Well, pick it up. You were going to pick it up a while ago when this here man only had a knife. You know, he made a show of a guy openly. That's the way Jesus did the devil. And we believe that that took place, and because we believe on those things, we are now saved. We're children of the Most High God. We're believers, and believing is what we do. It's just what we do. But I got a hold of this thing. I don't have to be afraid. And fear, and I tell my boys, Mike could repeat some of this, and while Reese is gone, he's the one I drilled in, you know, and then Cole, and then Ty as well. But what do we not let fear do to us? What do we not let it do to us? You can fear may come on you, but we don't let it control. Yes. Yeah. You don't let. Are you talking to me, Dad, or the radio? Okay. We don't let it control us, because that's what will happen. Fear may happen. It may come in, but we're not going to be controlled by fear, because fear will make you, it will inevitably, every time without fail, make you make the wrong decisions. You will choose the wrong path. You will choose the wrong decision, and you will thus come to the wrong outcome. And that's just, we can't have that. We're not going to live for that. Not going to stand for that. Not going to do it. Okay, I said turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, right? I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. No? That's supposed to be 2 Timothy if I said 1st. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy, let's read this because we need to read a scripture. It says in the Bible you should read a scripture. Okay, 2 Timothy. And we know this scripture. This is a good scripture to stand on. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us, what? He's not given us a spirit of fear. Well, goodness gracious, well, what does he give? Oh, let's read the rest of the scripture. Okay, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but what? Power. Love. A sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And this was one of the scriptures that I was just, I mean, it was just drilled into my spirit, drilled into my very being, my very essence. God didn't give me that spirit of fear, so what am I doing with that? What are you doing messing with something that somebody else gave you that's not yours? Fear's not yours. It's not. You're a believer. Faith is what you do. Faith is what you operate on. Faith is how you act. It's how you move. It's how you operate. It's your method of your operandi, or however you say that. It's your modus operandus. There's a movie where this guy's trying to say this lady's, well, you know, it's, what was it? In the Ninth Museum, I think. Anyway, he's trying to say this lady's name, and he gets about, you know, no, that's not it. Okay. But anyway, faith is how we operate. What are you doing in fear? That's not yours. The devil gave that to you. You're going to take something the devil gave to you? No. No, don't take that. So God gives us not a spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. And love, and a sound mind. You know, Dad stood on the scripture too for a long time, because whenever he would, before he got saved, he had done a lot of drugs and it had really affected his brain, his memory. You know, whenever he couldn't remember, well, still might not remember some people's names or phone numbers. I'm just kidding. But no, he couldn't remember certain things, and it really bothered him. He couldn't remember things. And so he stood on this scripture because God gave him a sound mind. And he was a child of God, and he believed God was going to help heal him. And you know, Dad now can quote, I mean, he can quote so many scriptures and reference, you know, books and things that he's read. And when he reads something that just sticks with him, I mean, like he just can remember it. And that's a gift. I mean, that's just a gift. But that's the spirit that God gave him, a sound mind, right? A sound mind can also be in reference to you making good decisions, you know, because what happens when you're in fear again? You make bad decisions because your mind's not sound. You're not thinking clearly. You're not really, you know, weighing all the options. You're just reacting to the circumstances, blah, 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 you know. And so when we get in faith, we calm down. Right? I mean, we're in faith, we calm down, and okay, we have peace, We're going to trust God on this thing. Now let's talk this thing out. What are we going to do? You know, and we're going to, here's what God's word says. Okay, I'm going to believe God for wisdom and favor and the circumstance, and God's going to give that to me. I'm going to trust him, and now I can make a sound decision. You know, I have power over fear, over the circumstance, because I'm trusting God, right? So anyway, I dealt with this for a long time, and I used to be afraid of heights, and now I'm retiring. Thank you. I'm retiring at age 42 from climbing towers, because I climb radio towers and towers to put up wireless, you know, cell equipment, and I've climbed, you know, upwards of 170-ish, I think, probably 170 feet in the air. I put a lot of equipment on towers at 100 and 150 feet, and you know what? There's still moments where I'll be on the tower, and, you know, something will be just a little uncomfortable about my positioning or whatever, and fear will kind of, no, I'm protected. Pray before I go on every tower. Pray before I go on, you know, any kind of circumstance that I might put myself in jeopardy, a work situation where, you know, I'm going and supplying needs for my family by going and doing this job, and it may be a little hazardous, but I can believe God that he'll protect me and keep me safe, and I'm using a safety harness as well. I'm using natural wisdom as well, you know, but fear still may try to creep in, but you know what? I don't focus on that. Get my focus back on what I'm doing. I focus on the fact that I'm safe. I've got this tie off here, and I'm doing this here, and I'm working on this, and God's protecting me. Angels camp around about those who fear the Lord. And here I am on this tower, and I'm doing a job. I'm doing it well, and I'm going to get this done, and I'm going to get paid for it. Boy, it's going to bless the family, you know, and bless the church, and bless people that I know, you know, that I might want to, you know, give to or whatever. And where's my focus? Not on fear. Not on the things that the devil would have me do, or focus on to get me away from standing on this thing called the rock. The rock of believing and trusting and standing on God's word. I'm not going to focus on something, because what happens when you focus on something? You gravitate that way. Dad always says you're always headed where your head is. I mean, think about it. If your head is sitting there just mulling over and over all the bad that could happen, all the bad that could, oh my goodness, are you serious? This could, really? I'm getting further and further away from God's word that says, whoa, you know what? If I trust God and I believe God, hey, you know what? There's lots of people in the Bible that have had similar situations, and they just believe God, and God met their needs. And he's no respecter of persons. I'm a child of God. They're a child of God. We're both children of God. I mean, why can't I just believe? Well, I can. And I'm a believer. And so today, now, I'm going to believe. That's just what I do. And circumstances aren't going to change who I am and what I do. Amen? All right, let's move on. All right, if you're writing down notes, let me just give you a few scriptures to write down. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it talks about how that God is the author of peace, not confusion. That you shouldn't be confused about things and what to do. In Isaiah 11:2, this is good scripture. I know that this, somebody snuck in last night and put this scripture in my Bible, because I don't remember ever reading this scripture. I thought, man, that's so good. Isaiah 11:2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. Let's turn there. This is a good scripture, and maybe you haven't seen this before, so that would be a good thing to, we'll experience this together. Isaiah 11. This just basically tells you what the Spirit of the Lord is and what it's not. The Spirit of the Lord, it says, we'll start in verse 1. It's kind of been a prophetic word. Isaiah does a lot of, you know, talks a lot about prophecy and things to come, whatever. And Isaiah is saying here that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And talking about the Messiah coming and so forth. It said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What is the Spirit of the Lord? Let's read the rest of Scripture. It says the spirit of wisdom, understanding, of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge. And in this case, if you're reading in the New King James Version or King James, it may actually say, and the fear of the Lord, but it's just talking about a reverence or respect or, you know, of God, and not talking about a fear being I'm scared of God. Okay? That's what the Spirit of the Lord is. And is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Yes. If the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, then let's just go down here. Verse 2. If the Spirit of the Lord rests upon me, then I've got the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and I've got counsel and might and knowledge and reverence and respect and awe of God. Okay? I don't have to live in fear and be concerned about what may or may not happen. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. This is a good one. We may just do some Bible drills here for just a few minutes. Philippians 4, I love this scripture. This is just awesome. Starts out in the fourth verse saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, is right now always? Yes, it is. Is in 5 minutes going to be always? Yeah, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I'm just kidding. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, in verse 6, be anxious, be worried, be fretful. The worry, the sense worried there is a little different than what we may try to use the word nowadays. You know, the word's meanings kind of change over time as people kind of use them unknowingly out of context sometimes too. That happens. And then our young generation can change the meaning of a word too. That's bad. Well, that means it's good, you know. Or, whoa, that is clean. That doesn't mean it's spick and span. That means it's cool, but not really cool because it's not cool. It's actually hot. But wait, those mean the same thing. So younger generations can also change the word meanings as we move along. But anyway, so worried in this case was just being, I could just see a picture of someone just wringing their hands, you know, just fretful, concerned, or what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? You know, what are we going to do? That's my sense of the word here, worried, anxious, fretful, just all up in knots, not knowing what the future's going to hold. And, whoo, this could happen, that could happen. Basically, I have no control. Right? I don't have any peace. I'm just going crazy. Right? Okay, so that's the picture I have here when I'm reading this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the next verse, which is just, I use this verse in so many aspects, and the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And I just love that verse because I know, and it's just kind of like a little, for me, I just thought, oh yeah. You know, I just get this little nudge. When I get in a situation, I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is a tough challenge here. And I just don't know how in the world this person that I might be praying for, or me, or whatever, I don't know how in the world you can have peace in this situation. I don't understand how you could have peace in this situation. Are we getting it yet? I don't understand how, but that's the kind of peace God gives. It passes my understanding. I can't understand how God can give me peace. That's the kind he gives. The kind that passes your understanding of how peace could be in that situation. And there are situations where you just like, man, how in the world do they still have a smile on their face? Well, because they went to God and they weren't anxious and fretful and worried and everything that happened is this situation that might have happened. That they prayed and they gave thanks. They made the request known to God, and the peace that passes your understanding kept a smile on their face. And it kept them motivated to keep moving on to the next day and just keep and keep working and keep you know, walking and keep moving. There's a song. I love this song. Move by Toby Mac. I think it's called Move. Is that what it is? Yeah, Move. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Your prayers might not have been answered just yet. Keep walking. Keep moving on. Go on and move. Keep walking. Soldier, keep moving on. You may not see the answer yet. It may not have had transpired. It may not, you know, have manifested in your life just yet. But do we do this and then until we just don't see anything happen, then we go over here? No. We do this. We stand, having an all to stand, and stand some more. Right? And we stand until we get the answer. Dad always says, whether it takes you 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years, what better thing have you got to do for that time frame until you get the answer? And if you quit now, I can guarantee you one thing. You're not going to get it. So why would you quit? Why would you stop believing? Why stop trusting and believing in the only answer that you know for sure will happen? Might not know exactly when it's going to happen or take place, but we know God will always come through for you in every situation, in every circumstance and case that comes against you. If you trust God and believe God, we have His promise. It's a solid foundation. It's a solid rock. We have His promise that He will come through for you. Why would you quit believing? Why would you stop? Hold on a minute now. What are we again? What do we do? Believe. Why would you stop being who you are? Why would you stop doing the things that make you you? I was talking with Cole again this morning. You know, we're driving. I was doing to him what Dad used to do to me too. You know, we'd drive to church together sometimes, and he'd preach to me, or we'd be driving anywhere, and he'd preach to me. Drive to McCoy's and Home Depot or Starbucks. That's over there that direction. And he preached to me. But I said, you know, Cole, if you're a your personality is that you like to make people laugh, you know, just kind of a comical type person. And then somebody comes up and says something, I don't think you're very funny, you know, you don't make me laugh, rah, 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 rah. You know, if something is that gonna change your personality? You shouldn't let it. I mean, we're encouragers. We're lifters. We're motivators in the kingdom of God. We encourage people to believe. We encourage people to trust God. Just because something happens that may go against what we believe, then do we change our whole character and our whole personality and nature? No. That's not who we are. And circumstance should not change your personality, your nature, your character. Now, I mean, obviously, if you have bad personality traits, we can work on those things. We should be governing our personality traits and trying to get those to be like Jesus and like God would have us to be. We should be naturally a joyful person. If you're not, there's things in here that can help you and make you that person. But that's a good thing. Being joyful and, you know, encouraging people, make people laugh, that's a good thing. And just because somebody may criticize you, that's, I don't want to let that move me, you know. Well, why would we, okay, if somebody, I'm walking in divine health over here, and I get me a cold. Oh, well, great, I just might as well just not even believe God anymore. I got a cold, you know. Healing, whatever. No, that's not, I get a cold. I should immediately say, you know what? Man, I should have, first little sign of symptom, I should have just been standing on God's word. What did I mess up and do wrong? Or, you know, I can't let the devil get on me like this. Make a decision and a choice right there. I'm going to focus on how to get out of that and get over that and make sure that doesn't happen again. I mean, we're life is a series of choices, as Dad says. It's not chance. It's not by chance that you do certain things. It's by choice that you do certain things. And certain outcomes, you know, come to pass in your life because of the choices you made. because of the choices your parents made in raising you, hopefully, and your grandparents and so on and so forth. And the choices you make are going to affect people down the road that you come in contact with, your family, your friends, your people of contact in your workplace maybe or whatever. And we have got to be strong in the Lord. We've got to be strong in the Lord. We've got to be strong in our faith. We've got to be strong in our confession. We've got to be strong in our stand. Amen. And part of that, I was just reading over, there's two real meanings for the word strong. And if you want to look right down to Scripture, Ephesians 6:10, right before it gets into the armor of God, you know, group of scriptures there, Ephesians 6:10 talks about be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we mentioned this earlier in the message that it's not our might, our ability, our power. We don't, so because it's not that, don't focus in on, don't look at your own inabilities or weaknesses or strengths in, you know, per se. Don't look at yourself when you're trying to compare what it's going to take to defeat the enemy or what it's going to take to overcome the circumstances. It's not your abilities, your power, your might. It's God's. And so this is the question you ask. Can God do this? Yeah. Yeah, he can. Can God save me from an attack of a... Let's just say that, you know, our nation's being attacked by, you know, whatever, another country or whatever. Can I personally go stop that whole attack? No. I don't have the ability to do all that. But can God stop that? Oh, well, we've seen examples in the Bible where whole nations that tried to attack his people, his children, children of God, children of Israel, wiped out. And they didn't even have to fight. I mean, they didn't even have to do anything. They basically killed themselves, right? So if he's done that before, that means he's able and he's got that power and he's got that ability. So whenever I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, his ability, his strengths, can he do that? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about it. I trust and believe God, and that's the only fight that we have to fight, is the fight of faith, amen? And I was looking at this word, you know, strong, strength. And there's two main, you know, definitions for this. One is powerful, having power to move heavy weights, kind of like mountains, maybe. That's just what I thought of when I saw this, heavy objects and weights, powerful. Yeah, that's what strength is. When you're strong in the Lord, you can move mountains, amen? And the other one was, and I thought this was so good, the other definition went along these lines, able to withstand great force or pressure. And I just thought of this, you know, the devil right now would like to put stress and pressure and force on you to try to, and I'll take this analogy for a second, to try to rip you apart, to try to tear you apart, not just yourself, but apart from family, apart from fellow believers, apart from dissension in our country, we'll say, apart from even, you know, fellow countrymen, we'll say. And the devil would love to get everybody torn apart and disjoined and disunified. Strength in this situation here, like we were talking about, is able to withstand that pressure and hold everything together. You know, it's like material, like a good, strong material. You try to rip it, and it just won't come apart, right? And that's in this case, was like strength is. And, you know, with all these things, the devil is attacking our nation. He's attacking our you know, everything. He's attacking our Christianity, our religion, Christianity. He's attacking our home life. The devil's attacking several, you know, things, trying to break us apart and disunify, disjoin us, and we've got to be strong, resist that pressure, resist that force, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, amen, and resist that thing. You know, when of course we resist the devil, he's going to flee from us, amen, but if we're strong in the Lord, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we're going to be able to resist the devil, and he's going to have to flee, amen, and we're going to be able to stand together, and that's how we do it. We stand together and believe together and work together to accomplish this goal and accomplish this task on an individual basis, in a community, in a state, in a country. You know, we can defeat this enemy. Circumstances that are taking place in our country are not going to define or change who we are. We are believers. We're going to believe. And I'll close with this. It's time to go. But I'll close with this. You know, I've mentioned this lots of times that I pray with Cassie, and I pray over my kids, my kiddos, you know, every night. You know, a prayer that I pray, I'll just kind of pray. I'll tell you some of the things I pray about, and then we'll close out, and I'm going to pray it over you guys. You like that? Will that work for you? Okay. So here's what I pray for Cassie. First of all, I talk about how that, you know, when we go to bed at night, because, you know, that's a time that your brain starts clicking and going and wandering, and the devil tries to come in, and, you know, and then you start worrying, but then you don't sleep, and, you know, can't sleep anymore. But anyway. We pray that, according to Proverbs 3:24, we're going to lie down unafraid, and our sleep is going to be sweet. And I'm just paraphrasing the main points here. I pray that in Psalm 34:7, that the angels camp around about those that fear him, that trust in him, that, you know, believe on God. I pray that our Father God, and of course several scriptures go along with this, but Jeremiah 31:3 says that he loved him with an everlasting love. He's no respecter of persons. He loves me with an everlasting love. Amen. Of course, John 3:16 talks about he so loved us. So if God loves us, and he'll take care of us. If you love someone, you take care of them. And then I always pray also, like, for the next day, the coming day, that of course we have the protection, the angels and camp around about us as we travel to school and to work, for mommy, you know, for daddy and the boys and Cassie. And then I pray that as we go into our jobs and as we go into school and as we interact with people, that we'll always have wisdom and favor. And God says, James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, you know, and lay mass for the elders of the church, pray only knowing the oil, prayer of faith will save the sick, Lord raise them up, whatever. But if you lack wisdom, you can ask God who gives to all men liberally, right? So you pray for wisdom. He's going to give it to you liberally. I'm trying to think of anything else that I might mention whenever I'm praying. But those are the things that I pray over Cassie. And I pray over my boys. All my boys. I say all my boys because I've got a few extras. But all my boys, and they're all mine, my boys and Cassie and, of course, mom and daddy. All right, so let's stand up together. And I'll just pray like I'm praying over Cassie, because I mean these things for you just like I mean for her, because I love you guys like I love my kids too, you know. And let's just pray over that, and we'll dismiss this way. How about that? All right, Father, I just thank you. First of all, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the blessing of Cassidy. I thank you for the blessing of this church, for these people here, Father God. I thank you for giving them to me, for blessing me with these people. And I thank you, Father God, that you watch over these people as they leave here today, as they go to bed tonight, as they wake up the next day, Father God. Your angels encamp around those that fear you, and they don't have to fear about the arrow that flies by, the terror by night or the arrow that flies at noonday, Father God. They don't have to walk in fear of their lives or their safety for them or for their family, Father God, but that you watch over them and you protect them and you keep them safe. And I thank you, Father God, that you love us with an everlasting love. And the love that I have for my kids and love I have for this church and for these people, Father God, is just an inkling of what you have for us. And the love that you gave to us and showed to us, Father. And so as I pray for the people that are here today, I know that you love them more than I do. And that you want the very best for them. And you want them to be successful in everything that they put their minds to. Everything that you've called them to do, Father God, you're going to equip them and you're going to prepare them and you're going to help them be successful and you're going to help them to be a light and you're going to help them be encouragers to people around them, and that you're going to help them reach people and touch people in their community and their outreach that nobody else could reach or touch. And Father, we just thank you that as we leave here today, that you protect them as they travel. And everybody they come in contact with, that you give them favor. You give them wisdom and decisions to make in the future. And that you bless us. You bless these people, Father God. You bless them and their families so that they can be a blessing to others, Father God. And I thank you for all this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you. All right, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death, and let them die. Amen. Hallelujah.